This is URN, the sports show.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to the sports show. And we are joined by Alex, our reporter at Nottingham Forest. Are you there? Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear, Jeremy.
That's all right. So, what did you make of today's game and a 2-1 victory at home to Sheffield United?
I mean, it's a much-needed win for Forest after a bad recent form. And to be honest, the first goal went in for Sheffield United before I'd even got into the stadium, with a goal from Lundstrom, which I think sums up Forest's season at the moment, at the back especially. But overall, Forest dominated the second half, and we're back in it. I'd say around 15 minutes in, with a nice little goal from Jason Cummings, coming from a bad initial corner from Osborne, but well hit from around 20 yards out. Forest had a few other extra chances, and the next goal came from a cross-in from, I don't know, I think it's probably Dow, who was head the cross back for goal by Dow Murphy, with Dow finishing it out from around 20 yards. The second half was relatively comfortable for Forest overall, until around the last 5 minutes, where Sheffield United not only hit the post, that had the round pressure on the Forest for the whole remaining 10 minutes.
So it sounds like a good win there for Nottingham Forest at a time that they've really needed some results to go their way. What do you make of was that a good enough performance from Forest today? I know you said they weathered a bit of the storm in the last 5-10 minutes of the game, but do you think that's good enough to see them rise back up the table, or were they just a bit lucky that Sheffield United couldn't get it back?
I mean, a bit of both. The first half performance from Nottingham was very encouraging, but they did tail off a bit in the second half and invited pressure for the whole 45 minutes, not really creating that much. I think it's more of a confidence boost that is needed more than anything.
Well, that is very good to hear, given the form that Forest have been in right now. But that result lifts them up to pretty much dead halfway on the table, lifts them up to 12th place. And what do you make of, tomorrow? We've got the late game today of Reading Norwich, and tomorrow Sheffield Wednesday play Leeds. Do you think that Forest, from what you've seen today, do you think that Forest are going to start to manage to climb up that table? Were the players, were they standing out? They've lost one of their coaches in recent days. They've lost a few players over the summer. Do they look like they're missing Greta Sombalonga, or have they got good enough firepower up front?
I think going forward, Forrest looks okay. I mean, Daryl Murphy and Jason Cummings seem to be forming a decent partnership, but I think it's more, once again, at the back is where Forrest looked a bit dodgy today. I mean, overall, they didn't defend too badly, but there were still loose passes here and there. And Sheffield did have chances to at least draw this game, and a better team could have easily punished us. But I do think the confidence, especially from this game and ending that bad run, should definitely help in future fixtures.
All right, well, that's brilliant. Thank you very much for your time. Hope you enjoyed the game, and we will see you around soon. But that was Alex there at the City Ground. So now, back to the Premier League. Let's go through those scores from today. Huddersfield 0, Tottenham 4, Bournemouth 0, Leicester 0, Manchester United 4, Crystal Palace 0, Stoke 2, Southampton 1, West Brom 2, Watford 2, and West Ham 1, Swansea 0. So let's start off by talking about the early game of today. Did anyone manage to catch Huddersfield 0, Tottenham 4?
I caught a significant amount of the game. I saw the first three goals and quite catch Sissoko's, but by then the game was over, and it was quite clear that Tottenham were just a class above Huddersfield, really. They've had a really good start to the season, have Huddersfield, but I think today it was just a really tough test for them, because Tottenham are really strong away from home, and Harry Kane is just in absolutely ruthless form at the moment. He looks like every shot that he's going to take is destined for the net, and he of course scored first, which was quickly followed by Ben Davies grabbing another goal. He's had a really good season so far, and then Harry Kane, his second goal was just world class. I know there's a big debate about whether he is world class or not, but for me he is world class. And the goal that he scored today, he just picked the ball up and has powered his way past two or three Huddersfield defenders and just bent it in with his supposedly weaker left of foot, and it just right into the corner. The keeper had no chance, and by then the game was won after about 25 minutes. So it's a really strong performance by Tottenham, and I think they maybe not, you know, challenging for the title as of yet, but I think they'll run it close if they continue to perform like that.
And what do the others think in the studio about Tottenham? Do we think that they're as was said by Jimena, do we think they're going to challenge for the title? Do we think they're going to challenge for the top four? Is Wembley going to hamper them? They didn't start off too well at Wembley, you know, a draw with Burnley, a defeat to Chelsea, albeit Chelsea did play quite well that day. What do we think of Tottenham's season so far?
Well, I think if Kane stays fit, then and their best players in general stay fit, then I think they've got every chance of doing that. I mean, on their day, they probably play some of the best football in the league. I think they're probably they've shown they're capable of beating anyone on their day. So, I definitely think they're in with a shot. Especially if Kane stays fit, and especially if he stays in this sort of form. I've just seen a stat online here which is Harry Kane has equaled the highest tally of goals in a single month ever. The only two other people to have done that are Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. So that really puts into perspective the scale of his achievements so far this season.
Yeah, it is quite amusing. Having failed to score yet again for the whole of August, he scored on the first day of September for England. And yeah, as you say, 13 goals in a calendar month. Some slightly scary form. I may say that I'm an Arsenal fan, but some really impressive form from Harry Kane. And to link it back to we were talking about Roy Hodgson before, and we were talking about England. Should we be making Harry Kane the captain? I know we're not looking to... nobody really enjoys the international matches, but we've got them next week, so please make sure you are still listening in next week. We will be covering the international fixtures, the last group stage games in European qualifying for the World Cup. What do we think from an England perspective? I mean, we know Dele Alli's banned for the first game. We can discuss that in a moment, or you can discuss that now if you want. But what do we make of Tottenham and England's chances in their games in the next few weeks?
It's that issue of England pulling England and end up just doing. Well, in qualifying, England always, you know, they do well. They beat these teams 2-0, 1-0, whatever, they manage it. But it's... Harry Kane, I think, has a very clear-cut case to be captain of the England team, because if you're looking for a player who can lead from the front, who can inspire them, I'd say he's probably England's best bet at doing that, because he can score the goals, and he is someone getting a reputation across the world as being a very, very deadly striker, and he started to score more recently for England. But it's England. Like, no matter how much you want to say England's team's great, it's always another case. It's Liverpool and England have one thing in common, and that's always this year's our year, and it just never is it. So I find myself struggling to get my hopes up about England pretty much ever. And yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, I'm the same, to be honest. It's difficult not to be extremely pessimistic about England, because just watching that Iceland game, I was just when Iceland scored that second and Joe Hart just let it slip through, I got past the point of caring whether England won or not, and I was just laughing at the fact that we managed to lose to Iceland. We're just, England are bad. It's simple as, really. Tottenham are good. Harry Kane is very good.
But is he world class?
Yes, Harry Kane is world class, but for England, he's not world class because he's not got world class players playing behind him. Well, he's got Dele Alli, and that's about it. But I think the real difference with Tottenham is Christian Eriksen, which England obviously do not have because he is Danish.
The thing that comes up for me with England most often is international tournaments in particular, always about tactics. Just look at the last one in Portugal, winning it while just completely setting up to try and win 1-0.
Yeah, shouldn't have made it through that group. They came third in the group.
Well, that's the rules, but international tournaments are always, unless you have, you know, a whole bunch of world-class players like Spain or Germany in years past, it's about the tactics. And England just never really seem to know what they want to do from that front. And I don't feel Southgate has that in him. to be able to do that at the World Cup. I just don't think he's got that in him. So I think they're going to... They'll probably do the same thing again, getting through the group, maybe winning one knockout match, and then going down to someone they should beat.
I think I remember a statistic that England have only won 6 knockout games since winning the World Cup. That, now, that might just be World Cup. I don't want to comment on European Championships for that, but I think they might have only won 6 World Cup knockout games since winning the World Cup, in case you've forgotten, in 1966. No, so, yeah, I think it is definitely fair that England, regardless of how strong they look in October, all that really matters is come June and come July, that World Cup next year going to be held in Russia. Now, a kind of semi-link to both of those stories, the Russian League, obviously quite a few games ahead right now, because they have to take a massive 3-month break because football is absolutely not playable in Russia between December and March. Do we think, in the light of news this week, and I'm sure our Liverpool sporting producer in the, or head in the studio will feel the same, but this week it was revealed that Liverpool versus Arsenal, which is one of the games set to be played around about Christmas time, the Premier League have asked it, or the Sky have asked for it to be moved to Christmas Eve, which is a lovely thing for all those fans travelling south to get back on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So do we think, and it's the perennial discussion, and we'll have it before we go into talking about the late game today, do we think that there should be a winter break in the English leagues?
Well, a lot of the managers seem to, don't they? Especially managers that come in from other leagues. They come in and they tell us, oh, this is why England can't do well internationally. There's no winter break. But it's just, it's a massive overhaul to the system. I mean, I know it's a traditional thing, we don't have it, but... Well, when the World Cup happens in Qatar, we're going to have to come around to that thing, and that will have to be happening in the winter. So it's going to happen soon, so maybe we should just bring it in now rather than later.
I mean, from a personal perspective, I don't really want them to scrap or Christmas football. I think Christmas football is the best time of the season, to be completely honest. Like, a load of games in a short space of time. Yeah, I think it's great fun to watch, and to be completely honest, I don't think it would make too much difference, like, for the national team anyway. Some people might say,
well, the statistics would go against you there. An English player, or a player just playing in the English league, is 2 times more likely to pick up an injury between January and April, and 4 times more likely to pick up an injury from May until the end of the season, so be that at an international tournament or not, than their players from other than players from other countries and playing in other countries as well. And given that so many of the English national team do play in the Premier League, do play in the English leagues, do we not think it's worth potentially trying out, as you mentioned before, the next World Cup if it goes ahead in Qatar? I use the word if because there's nothing really guaranteed about FIFA nowadays. What do we make?
That's the thing for me. You've got... Whilst you don't necessarily have to go with a full-fledged winter break, they should at least try and make it a more normal fixture list throughout Christmas period, because having all those runs of games together, while good to watch, does mean that you're very likely to get injured.
Yeah, 23rd, 26th, 28th is normally the fixture, and then the 1st again. So there is a week between the 26th and the 1st, so that's kind of like normal. But you've then got the 2 midweek games, often 2 in 3 days. It is a bit manic and a bit hectic in there. But then couldn't the solution be to potentially between the 3rd and the 4th round of the FA Cup, there just be no league fixtures? So that's in January. That's the same time that Germany takes their winter break. Just there between the first or second weekend in January and the last weekend in January, there'd just be no Premier League fixtures. It's a bit of time to recover from those hectic Christmas fixtures. It doesn't remove the Christmas fixtures. It doesn't remove the New Year's Eve or New Year's Day fixture, and still allows for a bit more of a rest for the English players.
This is URN. The Sports Show.